I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about climate change and the New World Order. Climate change and the New World Order. Now, some of you probably have seen our film that we produced years ago called Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, Bible Prophecy and the New World Order. And if you've seen that film, which was produced more than 10 years ago, at the time, much of the information driving this need for a new world order was to avoid global catastrophe in terms of a nuclear war. And for those of us who grew up and lived through the Cold War era, through the Ronald Reagan era, until the wall came down, the Berlin Wall came down, and the Soviet Union fell, that whole era was under this shadow, this cloud of nuclear catastrophe that there's going to be, because you got these superpowers, the United States and Russia, and they could be involved in a conflict at any point. And if that happens, what's going to happen if there's nuclear war? And all of these movies were made where you have these post-apocalyptic, Road Warrior, was one of them. Mel Gibson's film was one of those post-apocalyptic type films. The Planet of the Apes movies, the very first one with Charlton Heston, where at the very end he shows up and he finds the Statue of Liberty buried in the sand there on the beach. And so on, all of these conjured up images of what would happen now that we have nuclear power and bombs and so on, and if we end up going into some kind of nuclear conflict. Well, the solution for this was global government. And we presented Megiddo. We present all of these quotes from different leaders and thinkers, very well-known people throughout history, throughout the 20th century, who are talking about the need for global government and or a new world order. And of course, in more modern times, probably the most prominent figure to use that term, New World Order, was George H.W. Bush, Bush Sr. Very straightforward, not even hiding the phrase, but using that phrase quite directly. Pope John Paul II, same thing. We show in one of our films Pope John Paul II making reference to a New World Order, how a New World Order can be achieved. So this is definitely something that the Vatican is in on. It's definitely something that the Jesuits are in on. It's definitely something that the United Nations is in on. This is part of the purpose of the United Nations. And at this point, so my point is, in years past, they have used as the excuse or the problem, because everything that they do, the globalists use their crisis and solution formula, which is there's got to be a problem, whether it's real, imagined, or manufactured. They come up with a problem, and then there's got to be a solution. The solution, of course, is always more power for them. It allows them to channel power into their hands, more control over the common people, one step closer to totalitarian government. Well, now it appears that the latest problem that they have come up with that requires global intervention, government activity at a global level, is climate change, global warming. This is the new problem. that is threatening the entire planet. It's a planetary problem, and of course it requires a planetary solution. This is, you know, globalism. And part of the reason I wanted to do this show today is because of a report, a news article that was published by The Telegraph over in the UK about Maurice Newman, who was the chairman of the Australian Prime Minister's Business Advisory Council back when Tony Abbott was the PM in Australia. He was later ousted by a leftist coup in that government. The whole thing is somewhat complex, but in Australia, apparently, they have the ability to completely usurp the democratic process of having the people decide who's going to be in charge, and they effected some kind of coup d'etat where they were able to oust Tony Abbott and bring in his rival, Malcolm Turnbull, who was a liberal left-wing zealot. And I suspect that what went on with Tony Abbott's advisor and on this whole issue of climate change, because Abbott was on record stating effectively that the climate change argument was nonsense. He used different language than that, but nevertheless, he basically said it was nonsense. And so his advisor, Maurice Newman, this statement from him reported in The Telegraph last year, quote, Australia PM advisor says climate change is UN-led ruse to establish new world order. That's what he said. This is almost a year ago, not quite a year ago. Tony Abbott's business advisor, it says global warming, a fallacy supported by United Nations to create a new authoritarian world order under its control. So they've got the problem. The problem is climate change. Problem is global warming, etc. Leonardo DiCaprio just won the Academy Award. He took the time, of course, to promote his climate change philosophy, talking about that issue in his acceptance speech, giving it more attention. Leonardo DiCaprio recently met with the Pope in the Vatican. You can go online, watch the video. DiCaprio showing up at the Vatican, kissing Pope Francis' ring. I didn't realize DiCaprio was Catholic, but there he is. He bows and he kisses the ring of the Pope, and goes and meets with the Pope of the Vatican to talk about climate change. Why? Because this is all part of the Vatican / Jesuit agenda. It is an instrument for gaining totalitarian control over the governments of the world. And this is the vehicle, this is the instrument that they are hoping to use. And what's very troubling is that we've got our own president, Barack Obama, who says this is the number one issue facing the world today, number one threat to humanity, to our country, is global warming. And you've got Obama, you know, we've got real problems that are happening right now that Obama just sort of brushes off as unimportant. The real problem, he says, is climate change. That's the number one problem. All right, I want to read a few quotes from this article. It says, quote, a climate change is a hoax developed as part of a secret plot by the United Nations to undermine democracies and take over the world, a top advisor to Tony Abbott, Australia's prime minister, has warned. Now that's, I'm reading from The Telegraph here, not from a conspiracy theory website or something. This is the UK Telegraph. Quote, Maurice Newman, the chief business advisor to the prime minister, said the science showing links between human activity and the warming climate was wrong, but was being used as a hook by the UN to expand its global control. Quote, this is not about facts or logic. It's about a new world order under the control of the UN, he wrote in The Australian. He went on to say, It is opposed to capitalism and freedom and has made environmental catastrophism a household topic to achieve its objective. Now, he made this statement, and then, of course, the liberals there in Australia, denounced him utterly, called for his removal, resignation, etc. He was, they called him a, quote, a wacko. All right. And if you study what's going on with these climate change fanatics, there are continual suggestions from, you find in different reports and so on, where they believe that anybody who disagrees with them on climate change should be punished. They should be looking at jail time. They should be looking at passing laws to silence people who say that climate change is not real. That they want to create an inquisition around climate change. And then if you deny it, if you deny the so-called science of climate change, then you should be punished. This is the direction that they want to take this fanaticism. Of course, they're doing the same thing with everything else in the socialist agenda. The socialist agenda that's pushing homosexuality and transgenderism. Look what they're doing with gay marriage. If you say no to their gay marriage and you won't make their gay wedding cakes, then you have to be punished. If you say no to transgenderism and you refuse to call a man a woman or him her, then you need to be punished, like they're doing in New York right now. You've got to pay a fine. You've got to be punished for that because you're not going to argue. And they want to do the same thing with climate change. Same thing. The Democrats are trying to promote this bill in Congress that the latest update on it was at the beginning of February, the bill that wants to punish anybody who speaks against Islam. If you speak against Islam, if you use any kind of hateful rhetoric against the Islamic religion here in the United States, in America, not in a third world country, not Pakistan, not Saudi Arabia, right here in America, the Democratic Party wants you to be punished for speaking against Islam. In particular, not any other religion, just Islam. That's what they proposed in Congress. Now, the bill hasn't passed yet, but it has gained more Democratic supporters. My understanding is there are no Republicans to date that have signed up on this bill. Now, of course, it would be the end of their career if any Republican signed off on that bill. I can't imagine that anyone, I would never, ever, ever vote for any Republican who agreed to something like this, or any politician that agreed to anything like this. It is the introduction of Sharia law in our system, but it all fits the pattern. It all fits the pattern of what the socialists are doing in this country and in other parts of the world. They want to shut down any sort of debate, shut down any disagreement. They are using, brethren, the principles of the Inquisition, because this is how the Inquisition operated. This is what made the Inquisition under Rome so intolerable and ultimately led to the Great Reformation. Because the inquisitors did not want anybody to be able to argue with them. If they tell you that this is how you're going to understand communion, you're going to understand it through transubstantiation. That is the argument. That's the interpretation. And that is what you must believe. And if you disagree, don't go into your Bible and start quoting scriptures that disagree with the official argument, the official doctrine. We don't want disagreement. There's no dissent. That was the position of the Inquisition. They did the same thing on matters of baptism, the authority of the Pope, the papacy, etc. All of these things, they pushed the envelope and then wanted to persecute anybody who opposed their interpretation. That was how it worked. But pushing back against that, pushing back with the Word of God, and ultimately declaring we ought to obey God rather than men. That is what led to the Reformation and the birth of the free world, the modern free world, and generally in Western civilization. You know, there's the old saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. So who knows what all this is going to lead to, brethren? There is another, we've talked about on this program, I wanted to mention this. The Vatican, of course, has employed the German climatologist Hans Schellenhuber, okay, who advised Pope Francis. And we talked about how Schellenhuber made his comments that the one good thing he said with a bit of sarcasm. He said the good thing about global warming is that it would destroy most of the Earth's population and bring the world population below 1 billion people. Now, that was, you know, what he said somewhat in a sarcastic manner. But I've talked about this before. If you draw a line from there to the monument that was erected back in 1980 in Elberton, Georgia, the Georgia Guidestones, we've got our film, Dark Clouds Over Elberton, The True Story of the Georgia Guidestones. If you go and study that monument and the philosophies that are being communicated there about maintaining a world population below 500 million people, it fits in with what we're hearing from Schellenhuber. Okay? It fits in. It's the same mentality. They want to lower the world population. And the socialists and the communists have been at this, I mean, throughout the 20th century. This is what your concentration camps and your gulags and your killing fields, etc. That's what all of these things are about. Massive reduction. I mean, when you think about it, you know, Hitler and 6 million Jews and 5 million non-Jews. You think about Stalin with 40 to 60 million people killed in his gulags, etc. I mean, these are just massive numbers of people. And it all fits in with their population control agenda. All right, let's go to a commercial break. We're going to go to our commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk more about this issue of climate change and the assertion now made by some of these climatologists that democracy is a threat to the environment. When we come back, right after this.
Adullam Films presents Dark Clouds Over Elberton, The True Story of the Georgia Guidestones, a dynamic new documentary exposing the environmental agenda. In 1980, this granite monument was erected by an anonymous stranger who called himself R.C. Christian. He claimed to represent a small group that wished to usher in the Age of Reason. Sometimes called the American Stonehenge, this strange monument is said to contain the Ten Commandments of the New Age, or the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. It calls for global government, environmental control, and worst of all, it says to maintain the world population under 500 million people. But who was R.C. Christian, and does his monument have something to do with the climate change agenda of the United Nations today? Find out by ordering Dark Clouds Over Elberton, The True Story of the Georgia Guidestones. Available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Christian Film Ministry, Adullam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
If you want to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, get answers to important Bible questions, or be involved in intensive Bible study and research, then check out situationroom.net/join. You can now join for just $7.99 a month and have instant access to the radio and television programs of Brannon House, Mike Gendron, Mike Abendroth, Mike Riddle, Justin Peters, John Whitcomb, Jimmy DeYoung, Jesse Johnson, Susan Heck, Chris Pinto, John Leffler, T.A. McMahon, Michael John Beasley, David Farnell, and Tommy Ice. Many of these programs are exclusive to The Situation Room and are produced and or distributed by Worldview Weekend from our radio and television studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Our goal is to help you defend and proclaim a biblical worldview. So why not go to situationroom.net/join right now and look at what is waiting for you as a member. This is broadcast quality, biblically sound, on-demand content for the entire family. Situationroom.net/join. Join now, and we'll send you 20 Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for becoming a member or for renewing your membership. That's $300 in free DVDs shipped to you free of charge when you join at situationroom.net/join.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We're talking about climate change and the New World Order. This is very clearly the latest ploy of the globalists to try and gain control of the world. And if you go read some of the stories on this, they've talked about having, what do they have to do to solve this problem of climate change? Well, they've got to put together a committee there through the UN, and they've got to come up with a global tax. They need to start taxing all the countries of the earth. And then, of course, they'll need to develop standards for who can use how much energy or whatever. And then, of course, punishments, penalties, if you exceed their limitations and boundaries, etc. You see, this is all about control. This is all about finding a way to get control of the various countries of the earth and the people. These are people obsessed with power and manipulation. All right, now this is an article here from the National Catholic Register. And this is after it was reported about Hans Schellenhuber, that he supports population control. An article was published saying, quote, German climatologist refutes claims he promotes population control. So he apparently came out and denied that that's what he is promoting. But some interesting things show up in this article. It says, German professor Hans Schellenhuber was one of the most influential scientists advising Pope Francis on his encyclical on the environment, Laudato Si, The Care of Our Common Home. As the founder and director of the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research, the climatologist and self-professed atheist was involved from the beginning to the conclusion of Laudato Si. So this is the Pope's encyclical, which is said to be the highest form of papal writing. The Pope, the Jesuit Pope's encyclical on the environment, and he's got an atheist who is his chief or one of his chief advisors on this whole thing, who was involved apparently in the development of the whole thing. Now, I guess it's not surprising. I saw an article here recently, somebody posted it on our Facebook page that the Pope Francis now has praised one of the leading abortion rights activists there in Italy. And this is from a story from Newsmax. It says, quote, pro-life leaders expressed shock after Pope Francis praised the Margaret Sanger of Italian politics. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. In an interview early in February, the Pope called former Italian Foreign Minister Emma Bonino one of the nation's forgotten greats. Bonino, for decades, has been known as Italy's most outspoken abortion rights activist. Okay? So, and why is this not terribly surprising to me? I have believed that the Vatican and her Jesuit priests have been either fully behind or in secret, covert support of the abortion movement from the beginning. And that has to do largely with the stories, the histories, like in Giuseppe Garibaldi's book on Rule of the Monk from back in the 19th century, talking about the evidence of infanticide in all of the convents and nunneries in Italy, in Rome, when he went into the city there and liberated all the nuns. He said they found evidence of infanticide without exception in every convent. And it's because of the immoral behavior of the priests. They get girls pregnant, the children are born, and then supposedly, reportedly, according to these histories, killed shortly after they're born. It's a form of abortion. So, and of course, the abortion movement has everything to do with population control. Now, the comment that was made by Tony Abbott's advisor. The comment that was made by Abbott's advisor, Maurice Newman. I want to get to this because this is very, very important. He goes on at one point, he says, quote, the real agenda is concentrated political authority. Global warming is the hook. Eco-catastrophists have captured the UN and are extremely well-funded. They have a hugely powerful ally in the White House. Now, it goes on. It says that the article, and that's the article that was written by Maurice Newman, who's against climate change. He's against this whole movement. He wrote an article, and they say, quote, the article was written by Mr. Newman to coincide with a visit by Cristiana Figueres, the UN climate change negotiation, who has urged us, and I think they mean negotiator, who has urged Australia to reduce its reliance on coal. All right, now they mention this woman, Cristiana Figueres. She is with the United Nations. Here's another article from RT. And they reported on the same story about Australian PM's advisor says climate change is a hoax designed to advance the New World Order. And they talk about Cristiana Figueres as well. And it says, quote, according to Newman, Figueres is, quote, on record saying democracy is a poor political system for fighting global warming. Communist China, she says, is the best model. So this woman with the United Nations, she is the UN climate chief, Cristiana Figueres. She is on record saying that democracy is a poor political system, not good for the environment, and communist China is the best model. Out with democracy, in with communism. Communism is going to help us save the planet now. Basically, this is what this amounts to. Now, there's another website called ClimateDepot.com, ClimateDepot.com, that opposes the whole climate change agenda. And they've got little banners there that say things like, say no to the UN climate agreement in Paris, sign the petition now, etc. They are clearly against the environmentalists. But they've got an article here posted that says, quote, former Harvard physicist Dr. Lubos Motl of Czech Republic on UN's Christiana Figueres, lauding of China and criticism of the U.S. Motl said, quote, the actual goal of climatism is to liquidate democracy, freedom, and prosperity in the world. Figueres' totalitarian advertisements are indefensible by the struggle to reduce the CO2 emissions because China's CO2 emissions were actually growing significantly more quickly than America's emissions in recent years. In other words, Figueres has tried to say, well, China is a better model. Communism will help us solve these environmental issues, which is pure madness, because if you study China, China has all this industry. They're producing massive amounts of materials and so on, but they don't, because of communism, because of government totalitarianism, groups like Greenpeace can't actually exist. That you because they're not allowed to do protests and that kind of thing at that level. They're not permitted to do it. Everything's controlled by the government, so you don't have a proper balance there. And as a result, China, they're polluting all sorts of rivers and waterways and things like that. They've also got a problem with disposing their trash. I saw a documentary on this where they've got garbage piled up in strange places in China, and they don't know what to do with it. It is the very antithesis of what this UN climate chief is telling us. No, communism is not the solution. Communism creates more problems when you have too much government control. Bigger government, totalitarian control equals more problems because people are not free to act and to come up with their own solutions. All right, so this former Harvard physicist, Dr. Lubos Motl, he goes on, he says, quote, the goal of these people is to stop democracy, freedom, and prosperity, regardless of the fate of nature, the temperatures, or the CO2 concentrations. Just to be sure, Comrade Figueres, the slow negotiations in the U.S. Congress, known as democracy, are not detrimental at all. They are what keeps the society decent, what allows it to search and find a better solution among the least two, and what protects the society against power-thirsty individuals like Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, and yourself, he says. He's obviously aiming that at Figueres. In other words, our system, which is somewhat cumbersome and slow, and I mean, that's one thing about the separation of powers that we have in this country. And our Constitution, even though things don't, you know, some people say, oh, I wish we could make things happen more quickly. Actually, it's a very good thing that they don't and can't happen quickly in this country. It's actually a very good thing that there's that balance of power, because it prevents a tyrant from coming in. It prevents somebody, one guy, from being elected to the White House and coming in and making sweeping reforms and changes. No president is given that much power. Now, he's still the most powerful man in the world, and the office is still a very powerful office, but there are limitations and boundaries on it that, quite frankly, I mean, can you imagine what Obama might have done if he had had no restraints and no regulations whatsoever? Thankfully, he's been slowed in many ways. He's been, I mean, he admits on issues like gun control, he's been stymied, etc., because of our system of checks and balances, for which we must be thankful to God. We must thank the Lord. But the aim of the globalists is to do away with all of this, to get rid of the democratic process, which effectively strips the power away from the common people. And they want to do this more and more. They want to do it economically. That's what's behind all the redistribution of wealth arguments, because it disempowers the people financially. That's what's behind gun control They don't want the people to be able to defend themselves or defend their right or their liberty. And the current vehicle, the instrument that they are employing to try and destroy the democratic process, is climate change. And this whole concept of global warming, etc. It is, and it's based on, I mean, you've got stories out there. I saw one on Breitbart. Breitbart had a story reporting that NASA has reported from their satellites, apparently, of the Earth, that the polar ice cap is getting bigger. It's not shrinking as they tell us it's supposed to be. No, it's actually getting bigger than it was years ago. And so they're using, just as they've done many times before, brethren, they did this with Alfred Kinsey and the Kinsey reports. They use junk science, false information, under the name of so-called science, and they tell us that this scientific data proves that they have to do whatever it is that they say they need to do. The Nazis did this in the 1930s. They used false scientific information about Jewish people. They claimed they found the Jew gene at one point that proved that Jewish people were subhuman. They've used this on the gay agenda. They claim that there's a gay gene that proves that homosexuals are not responsible for their feelings about homosexuality, that they were born that way. This is a genetic component, and therefore you can't discriminate against them, etc., etc. All of this is junk science, phony baloney, scientific manipulation, so-called scientific manipulation. It is a modern manifestation of the warning that we have from the Apostle Paul. Beware oppositions of science, falsely so-called. It's also interesting, if you study the book Against Heresies by Irenaeus in the second century. Against Heresies was also called the overthrow of the knowledge, falsely so-called. Irenaeus makes reference to the words of the Apostle Paul. And of course, he's opposing Gnosticism there. But essentially, it is the same problem. It's those who claim that they have this knowledge, this special knowledge that only they, the experts, have, because this was the Gnostic argument. They claim they had some inner secret knowledge that nobody else really had, and you have to believe them because of it. And now, in modern times, you have people who use this under the banner of so-called science. Well, they're scientists, they're experts, they have PhDs, and so therefore you can't argue with them. It's effectively the same argument that was made by the Inquisition. The Inquisitors, they're the experts on doctrine and matters of faith. You can't argue with them. You're not supposed to argue. You've only got to submit to whatever it is that they tell you. So, it's at times like this, brethren, we have to remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, Be not called masters, for one is your master, even Christ, and you are all brethren. Praise the Lord. We need to look to the Word of God. We need to consider what the Lord tells us about the world around us. I mean, yes, we certainly agree with taking care of the environment to the best of our ability. However, we do not agree that we need some global group of socialists and communists who are very clearly not concerned about the environment. What they want is political power and control. And the fact that these are the enemies of the faith of Christ, these are the enemies of the gospel, and they want to try and claim totalitarian control over our country and the other countries of the earth, I believe we ought to resist them and not yield to their science, falsely so-called. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.